Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Hello and welcome back to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 6 and today I'm joined by Declan Vines, the owner of a eyewear company called Belvoir & Co. Today, we're going to have a chat about parenting, business, growing an e-com brand, everything in between, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So, Dec, call you Dec?
Yeah, call me Dec, yeah. I've had worse.
Sounds a bit similar.
Yeah.
Over to you, mate. Give us a little, like synopsis, age, working life, a bit about your sort of parenting, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I'm Dec, founder of Belvoir. Been doing it now for 8 years, 9 years. Had a daughter back in COVID, and it's just been sort of a juggle, to say the least, obviously ever since. And it's all fun though, because it's part and parcel of obviously one being a brand owner and two, being a parent. So I wouldn't change it, but it's a struggle. But what parent don't have struggles? They'd be lying if they said it was smooth sailing.
Well, thank you for that, mate. First of all, I fully agree with that. I think I spoke with my wife last night, and she was she's a makeup artist. She has clients coming through the door all the time, and she was saying that one of her clients was pretty much explaining exactly what we were going through 3 months ago, down to like tiptoeing around the house, worried about putting the kettle on. She didn't want to wake the baby up and stuff. And you probably think you're the only person doing it because no one else talks about it. So you think, oh, we must be doing something wrong. But actually, in truth, I think this is one of the reasons why I'm doing the podcast. I think the more people openly chat about how difficult parenting is, how difficult juggling it all is, the better, because I think people can lean on each other, and then hopefully someone might drop you a message and say, I heard you on the podcast, you went through something similar, and just help each other out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I agree, because it's like for me, it's like when I first had my daughter, I was always like, I'm never going to be one of these dads that give into the iPad and all that jazz. But the iPad is the best thing you can give a little one. Like, it sounds nuts, and some parents will disagree, but I'll say, look, listen, if you need half an hour just to get work done or something done, or even just cooking the dinner, just letting them have that half an hour on an iPad where they can watch whatever they want, it's the best thing you can do. And I always said, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. And everything I've always said I'll never do, I've done. Because you will literally do the most just to have that 5 minutes of peace to be able to just get something done. And personally, I can't deal with the tantrums and the crying.
Yeah.
I'm not one to give in, but eventually I do. But she's a daddy's girl, and like, if she asks me for this, she'll get it. Like, we went to Smith's yesterday, and she wanted a Sonic watch. I was like, what do you want to watch for? You can't even tell the tone. But she ended up leaving with one, so it's like flipping out.
It's true, mate. I think a few people have said that on the iPod comment. It's quite a topical thing to say, that like you say no, because you don't want them to have an iPad, because you want to be sat there playing with them, talking with them, giving them all your attention. But the truth is that actually you do that 90% of the time, and then the iPad is a prop and a sort of like an assistant to just be like, right, like you said, need to make the dinner, and you don't necessarily need a toddler trying to pull your trousers down or like shouting at you because they've
put the car
on the sofa. You need that, just like, okay, just enjoy yourself, watch a bit of Peppa Pig, watch Miss Rachel, whatever it may be, just to allow you to do what you need to do before they go to sleep or eat or whatever it may be. And then I remember being probably, I probably was one of them people like yourself before Brody came. We were like, oh no, we'll try and limit the iPad. Like, but like you said, going on a holiday, like on the plane or whatever, you're having a nice meal.
Oh yeah.
Your partner, it's necessary and they're great.
Yeah. I'll use it sometimes as well. Because you just see yourself watching their stuff. And you think, how can you watch this crap? Like my daughter, she watches that Ryan. I think he's just reviewing toys, man. How do you find it exciting? But then, like, I'll look out the corner of my eye and I can see her smiling at the screen. I'm thinking, she's obviously getting some sort of enjoyment from it. And I think to myself, I need to get my daughter into this Ryan mode and be a YouTuber.
Yeah, mate. They make some good money, don't they?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that's another thing with the whole iPad thing is you want your kid to be happy. And like, I know that we took Brody to the cinema at the weekend and like some people might look at that and think, oh, you're taking him to go and watch a screen. That's not really something you should be doing. But actually,
yeah,
he loved it, man. He had a Peppa Pig book in the car. He took his teddy in with him. I know he's only 15 months old, but like for an hour in the cinema, he's absolutely loving life. And he ain't going to remember that when he's older, but
oh yeah.
In the here and now, he was really happy and he's enjoying it. And we also enjoyed it as a family, which is a really good thing as well.
Yeah, you get fulfillment, don't you, when you see him with a smile on the face. And for me, that's probably one of the biggest things to do now, especially now, sort of my little one, she's getting a little bit older. Like she'll start school in September, so she's more understanding now. She's speaking a lot more, whereas sort of six to 8 months ago, she wasn't really at that stage. Whereas now it's like she's half depressed kind of thing. She won't shut up as soon as she wakes up. And it's great. Like I'll admit it, I struggle every day that I have her. Yeah. But I wouldn't change it, not for the world. But I think I struggle in the sense of I can't switch off up here with work. And that's what I struggle with massively.
So, I know you said before we jumped on the potty that you're going to pick her up from nursery so you can spend some time with her. How do you put some boundaries in place, say, when you're with her? Do you put anything physically in place, like I'm going to leave my phone in the car? Or is it a case of, look, I am a business owner. I am running the e-com store. It is 24/7. As long as I'm with your child and you're there, you allow yourself to think of work if it pops up.
Yeah, so like, although it is bad because I still need to learn to let go. Like, I can't put my phone down because I want to be there if something arises, because rather than sort of put my phone down and then a problem arises and I not know about it, like for example, the store could go offline for 2-3 hours. That's 2-3 hours worth of sales gone. Mm-hmm. It's not the be all and end all, but I'd rather be able to sort of message the web developer and say, look, this has happened, do this. And I'm still there in the presence of my daughter. And like when we do things together, I try and sort of either do things with her rather than be at home. Like for example, because I only get her sort of 50% of the time anyway. So I'll have her sort of Wednesdays to Saturdays, and them days that she is with me, she's at nursery for sort of 6 to 7 hours a day anyway. So technically I'll just get the evenings with her. So I'll try and either do something in the sense, like she loves food. So once a week we'll always go out for food, no matter where it could be, Mackie's or a Carvery or something. She's just happy to eat.
Yeah.
And then like my mates have got two kids, and they're two boys, but like my daughter's the tomboy. She loves football. She wants to wear football kits every day. And I ain't bothered if she wants to wear a football kit or a dress or whatever. I'll sort of let her wear what she wants. So like tonight, for example, like we've got like four kids coming over. She don't know that two extra kids are coming over, but she's going to be like a live wire. She's going to be buzzing. She'll be like, oh, I want to put my football kit on so the lads can see it. I'm like, absolutely. So I'll just do things that I know she wants to do. Like every time that I'll get her after nursery on the Wednesday when it's my first time over in the week, she'll be like, Daddy, can we do this? Daddy, can we do that? And I'm like, not now, but I'll sort of line it up then for the week, because at the same time, I've still got to run a business. I've still got to sort of have a life as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of, like you said, planning it all out just so it works kind of well, especially with me sort of only having a technically of an evening as such. Yeah. And it's going to be crap when she goes to school as well in September, because it's still not going to change.
I feel you. What football shirt does she wear?
Real Madrid, Al Nassr, whatever I can get my hands on, she'll wear.
Oh really?
And you? Yeah, Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah. So I guess when a question I always ask everyone, so when your child was born, was it 3 years ago in COVID?
Yeah, 2020, yeah. So she was a lockdown baby.
Lockdown baby. What was your sort of what stage was the business at in terms of like headcount, your involvement in the day to day, and how did you manage, say, taking some time off work if you did at all, to then going back into full time work for brand running mode?
So lockdown, I was still running it from home, from a shed in the garden, but we were still doing high six-figure turnover, and it was just my own, like myself.
Yeah.
Because lockdown was the point where, like, we'd never run ads beforehand. So sort of I took the boost where, like, I need to be more serious with the business kind of thing, so what can I do? So I took on an agency, started running Facebook ads and all that. And obviously lockdown, people couldn't go out. They obviously had money in the bank because they were either working from home or they couldn't go out and spend it on anything anyway. So lockdown was our best ever year. Mm-hmm. I thought, flipping hell. And then my daughter was born in the August, and I literally had to work the next day because the day she was born, it must have been about 28, 29 degrees. And obviously, we're a sunglasses brand.
Yeah.
People were flipping, pinging them orders. The ads were working really well. I thought, Jesus Christ, how am I supposed to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
So luckily, at the time, I was at home. My daughter was at home with her mum, and I had the shed in the garden. Just had a massive shed built. The stock was all in there. And I'd just go in there for sort of, at the time, it was like 3 to 4 hours of the day. Mm-hmm. Sweat my balls off in this shed because it was like a greenhouse. And then just pop back in sort of every half hour just to sort of make sure everything was all right. But then it just got more and more difficult because it was at the point where the agency were on me saying, look, the adverts are working well now. Let's scale. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah,
I can't try and have a life as a family and have a business under one roof. So then that's when I started to look for a first unit. And to be honest, me getting a first unit back in 2020 was the best thing I ever done, because I felt like then I was walking out the door, actually going to work. Whereas sometimes at home, you just feel like you're just doing nothing and getting paid. And like before my daughter was born, I'd just sit, whack the TV on, sit on my laptop, and I'd just bang through series every day. Yeah. I thought, nah, something's got to change here. So it was a struggle. But it got to the point where, like, Belvoir back then, it was still my full-time job, but it wasn't as big as it is today. Like, for example, I've gone from a shed to a 5,000 square foot space in 4 years.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's still hard work, like, but yeah. And it's still only a small team. It's like myself, my dad, and then I've got 3 other people externally. So I'm one of these people that, if I haven't got to waste money on staff, I won't do it, because I still don't mind putting the graft in. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'll always be. And I'm not a control freak, but I'm very particular, and I can't trust anyone. For example, I couldn't grab an average job off the street, even if they've got this CV saying they're the best picker and packer in the world. They're still not going to do it to my standards. But that's why I've got my old man in, because he's like similar to me. Eventually, obviously, my old man can't do it forever, but I'd rather him sort of do it and then train someone eventually. So we'll get to that point, but right now, don't need to waste a 25-30k salary on someone else when I can do chipping and stuff. There's literally no point.
I mean, so the three people you said outside of your dad, are they sort of in your sort of like social network of friends, like we did at 304, where our first hires were all like friends? No.
Like, I've got a guy who lives in Romania.
Right.
And then a girl who lives in Bosnia. And then there's a lad in Leeds.
So they're all remote workers then, yeah.
They're all remote workers, yeah. And like, I think it's a lot easier because like, they haven't got to be hands-on. Mm-hmm. Like, the one in Romania, he'll run the email side of things. And then between Leeds and Bosnia, they're the sort of the ad side of things.
Yeah.
It's just easy to jump on off sort of a weekly. And you've got Slack anyway, haven't you? Like on Slack. I'm speaking from every single day. But yeah, other than myself and my dad, it's just them three remote workers. There's no need for, personally anyway, there's no need to sort of chuck money on sort of staff when it's unnecessary. That's just my personal opinion on it. There might be some people that come in and say, you could do with an extra bit of hands, which in all fairness, we probably could do with one or two more people. But again, I'd still rather graft than outlay that money.
Yeah.
Because staff will come at the right time.
Yeah, 100%. I think we went through similar decision process like with 3 or 4 years ago, similar time at COVID. Like we were a very small team at that point. I think like four of us with Sean in Manchester. Yeah. And then because we were print on demand, we had to scale the staff quickly because as the orders went crazy, like for you through COVID, we had to have physically more people printing the orders. It wasn't like pre-made stuff.
Yeah.
So it was difficult to manage. Like we were having to like hire people from left, right and center. And then that does come with its challenges. You then, instead of running a business and trying to grow a brand, you just end up managing people. And like,
yeah,
people are the hardest things to manage because there's emotions and all sorts involved in it. And like, it was part of the business that I didn't really enjoy doing. I'm sort of glad to see the back of the end of last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm dreading, to be honest, when it gets to the point where I have to sort of employ people that I don't know in that kind of sense, because it's I'm then responsible for their life in a sense, because without sort of us running a successful business, they ain't getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we're trying, not the print on demand, but we're trying to sort of do the custom side of things with the glasses and stuff, where we're offering personalization, where you can have like your own sort of name lasered on the lenses or whatever. And because rather than do that at the factory in Hong Kong, we're going to do it in-house. Obviously, then there's going to be another pair of hands needed on that. But it's, again, it could scale to the moon. Once we create a video and not set an ad live, it could either flop or it could flip in, take off. Because everyone knows what TikTok's like these days. Yeah. As soon as it goes viral, you're fucked. In a good way. But yeah.
So are you guys on TikTok Shop at the moment? Are you getting sales there, or is that part of the strategy?
No, I don't use TikTok Shop. No, just everything's sort of straight to the website. Just use TikTok more for the ad side of things. So we've got the just sort of 7 or 8 ads running, just straight to the website, because that's easier rather than have all these different sort of sales platforms just all under one roof. Because if they're not going to order then, they'll order eventually within 2-3 weeks or even in 6 months' time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just how the pixels work.
Yeah, 100%. What's the plans, I guess, for the business? Are you looking to continue scaling aggressively? Or
yeah.
I've seen you taking the new unit on Instagram. Was it about 6 months ago? Or
yeah, well, just well, November we took it on, yeah, and then sort of officially it started in January after sort of going through all the solicitors and whatnot. But yeah, so took that on in November. And it's still not to the point where we want it at, because we've got so much, like I've took on a unit which is too big for what we need, but because we're here for 5 years, it's rather like we moved during Black Friday, the worst thing I ever done, but it was the only time it could get done. Yeah. With the handover of keys and stuff, for God's sake. But yeah, the plan is to sort of double down on sort of revenue, what we did last year, obviously profits and all that jazz as well. But my end goal has always been to for one of the big boys to come and buy me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can just sort my family out.
Yep.
I'm sorted. And then I'd go again just because I'd be bored. I'd have a bit of time off, buy a bit of property or whatnot, and then just go again. Because, and I'll do it again in sunglasses, because it's just not easy, but I know the market.
Yeah.
And I know what I'd do differently now, because at the minute we're at the luxury affordable stuff. Whereas if I was to do it differently, I'd just do cheap and cheerful. Boom.
Just units.
Yeah. Because it would just fly.
Big news. We've decided to partner up with a charity called Winston's Wish. They were the first UK's child bereavement charity and have been supporting grieving children and young people for 30 years. The Diary of a Daddy-O would like to help them on their way in providing the much needed money to help provide specialist child bereavement support services across the UK. To donate, visit our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/Diary of a Daddy-O, or click the link in our description below. Now back to the podcast. You've literally just seen Tommy Mallett, haven't we? Like, literally, he started a footwear brand.
And yeah.
I think he's still owner, he said, but he's literally just made another footwear brand. See, like, same thing. He knows the marketplace. He knows the ins and outs of how to grow one. And he's going for it again. And he seems re-energized to do another brand.
I think sometimes that's what people need. They need that sort of kick up the ass just to sort of go again. And like, at the minute, I'm at that point where I'm still enjoying it because like I see sort of the success that we've got. But once it gets to the point where I wake up and think I can't be bothered anymore, that's when I'll sort of reassess and think, right, it's time to look. Because I know there's brands out there that will buy us. Like, I had an email the other day from somebody who works at one of like the big companies in Italy who owns all like the Ray-Ban and the Pradas and all that. Luxottica, that's what it's called. They emailed the other day, just sort of putting the feelers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I've always said a figure that I'd sell for. Obviously, depending on how well we scale the business, that figure will change. But I've always said, right now, if someone's going to say, here's 10 million, I'm like, see, I have it. Have the keys, have the lot. You can have it.
It's good, though. It's good to have that sort of number that you want to achieve, because then, like you said, you can reverse engineer it back if you want to aggressively go for that number to exit. And then you'll know a time frame that you give yourself to try and achieve it. So I guess for the listeners as well, we'll put all the social medias for the branding, the tags and stuff. But do you want to touch on briefly the Ronaldo situation? So I think probably a lot of people will be quite positive about that.
What story do you want? Do you want the good part or the bad part?
Start with the good bit, and then if you want to do the bad bit, do that after.
Yeah, well, it all sort of. I don't want to sort of badmouth him, so I'll probably leave that bit out. Yeah, but basically, we had a bit of legal trouble, a couple of years back. But he's still a customer till this day, and when I say he's a customer, I mean he's a paying customer, and that's what the people don't believe. They always think, like, don't get me wrong, there's no harm in gifting things. That's how it started for us, because obviously I grew up around sort of footballers and stuff. One of my best mates, he sort of played for Blues at the time, so he managed to sort of get my foot in the door there. Then we had like the likes of Damari Gray, sort of, he started to purchase because we live in the same sort of area. And then it's just spiraled through there. So we've gone, I say, like the small fish of the footballing world, but obviously compared to Ronaldo, it's sort of classed as that. So gifted to Ronaldo back when he was at Juve, and he wore one of our sort of bestsellers at the time, the Elton model. And I just saw a picture come out and I thought, Jesus Christ, that's our frames. Literally just saved it, posted it on Instagram, boom, that style sold out within sort of 3 weeks, which was quite quick for us back then.
Yeah.
And then thought nothing of it, kept sort of reusing that photo every sort of 2 to 3 weeks once we had the stock. Sell out again. I thought, I'm to something here. So I'd approach more footballers.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had likes of James Maddison. I've had Neymar wear at one point, gifted it to Neymar.
How did you gift them to him? Did you just go through Instagram, or did you find their like management? Or
mate, if you ask me to find anyone's address, I'll find it for you. Like, had Bieber's worn before, like, and I was like, where the hell does Justin Bieber live? It took me about half hour to find on the internet, but I found it. Just send it straight by DHL. And like, to the people that I want to wear it, I'll always send it like DHL or DPD, where you can get a photo, just so you know that it's being delivered.
Yeah.
But then we started to have footballers reach out to us saying, oh, so-and-so's wore this. Can I get some pairs? And then we did a collab with Bobby Firmino when he was at Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And that come about simply because obviously Neymar was wearing them on international duty. Bobby was there at the time. Bobby DM'd us saying, I like your stuff, can I buy some? And at the time I thought, you ain't even got to buy, just have it for free kind of thing, because he had like 15 million followers. I thought, all it takes is for him to post it and people to ask, oh, where's the glasses from?
Yeah.
Then his management reached out and said, let's do a collab. And in hindsight, was it the best thing to do? Probably not, but it was a learning curve.
Why do you say that?
What
is it?
These big boys, they're a nightmare.
Yeah.
Bobby himself, absolute diamond to deal with. Like, if I said to him, can you get me a shirt? Can you do this? Yeah, sound mate. Like, I said, he said to me, I've got a photo shoot this afternoon. I'll WhatsApp him over straight away to you. Did the photo shoot and WhatsApped him straight over to me. Bless him, he used the sample pair, so it was the wrong colour lens, so I couldn't use the photos anyway. But then, for example, we did a photo shoot at his house before the launch of the collection. And then his management afterwards, they were just a bit arsey saying, oh, now you've been here, we've got to look for a new house for him and all that. And I'm like,
what?
We've done a deal for the last 12 months and we've been back and forth on Zoom and like meetings face to face. And you're telling us this now? It was like, what the hell? It just makes us feel like unappreciated or untrustworthy, as if we're going to sort of go break into his house or something. Whereas Bobby was like, let's have a barbecue, let's do this. And his team was like, no, 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 none of this. So I think with footballers, they're all great, but they've just got money-hungry management behind them. And that's a shame. And that's sort of similar to what happened with sort of Ronaldo. Again, which is a shame. But yeah, Ronaldo sort of come about where he came back to Man U and I gifted him a pair just to sort of say, welcome back kind of thing. He started to wear them. He was getting photoed in them, like by the Sun, Daily Mail and all that. And the next thing you know, an order come through and I thought, I recognise that name, because it wasn't under his name. I thought, where do I recognise that name from? And then it clicked and then I just Googled the address and I thought, yeah, no way. So I sent it DPD, next day delivery. And then again, next thing you know, boom, paparazzi. I don't know what it was, but it was at the time where he'd just obviously come back to Man U. And it was still that sort of craze where Ronaldo's back, Ronaldo's back. So he was getting paparazzi every single day. Mm-hmm. And then there you go, like the Willow Blue. I remember it, the Willow Blue Gold. He was in his Rolls Royce or a Bentley, whatever it was. I was like, sick. Using that photo, boom. And then, yeah, he started to purchase a load more. And then, obviously, he moved to Saudi. And then he started to wear them again when he was obviously in Saudi. And then all his teammates started to purchase because I didn't know sort of Saudi football at the time. Mm-hmm. I was seeing these orders come through for like 15 pairs of sunglasses. And that to me is either one, fraud, or two, it's someone like decent.
Yeah.
So I was Googling these names. I thought, hold on, Al Nassr. And I was putting two and two together there. So decided in the end to go to Saudi back in December to try and meet him. We didn't get that far, but we met his like best mate or agent, whatever he is. And we gifted him sort of a custom box set just to one say sort of thank you for, because even though he's purchased, it's still sort of, he's still done a lot for the brand because it's sort of getting that social proofing out there. Like to me personally, he's probably the biggest name on the planet who can literally, he could sell a bottle, like, well, he can sell bottles of water because he's got a bottle of water brand, but he could sell Play-Doh to kids if he wanted to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like he wore them to the Fury and Ngannou fight, and then that just exploded on TikTok.
Wild, some journey. All organic as well, which is like it's definitely tough to do it. Like now, 10 years ago, it was a lot easier.
100%. Yeah, like you used to be able to gift to influencers back then, and you'd get a positive return of income. Whereas these days, you say to an influencer, "Can you do this?" And you get a bit of content, but in the end, you get naff all back. Because unfortunately, it's just how sort of social media has gone, where it's just all monetized now by sort of Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, where they just want you to spend the dough, which I don't blame them because it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why as a brand now, like if I get any footballer coming to me now saying, "Can I have this?" I'm like, "Yeah, you can, but you're paying for it." They're like, "Yeah, but I'm a footballer." I'm like, I literally just send them a photo of Ronaldo saying, "If he can pay for it, so can you." And they're like, "Oh yeah, fair enough." Like some do have ego still. I won't name them. Like the people around me, they'll know exactly who I'm on about. But there's one player who plays for Spurs. He was like, Yeah, I could do this for you. I said, "No. Like I've gifted you in the past, but times have changed now. I don't need you anymore to promote our business."
Yeah.
Because we're at the stage now where we're doing decent numbers, and like I said, we've got the biggest footballing name on the planet wearing the brand because he wants to. He likes the stuff. Like he's got all the money in the world. He could go buy Cartier, Prada, Gucci, whatever he wants. But no, he wants to wear Belvoir, and it's like he's wearing a £70 pair of glasses rather than what people would expect, like £3,000.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest thing, really.
I mean, that must feel really, really good for you. I mean, like that, what you said there about I think about it like word of mouth is so strong. You wouldn't necessarily, unless you took the time as an owner to go, hold on a second, we're getting all these orders from Saudi. Some people, some business owners, head down, might just be like, ship them, not spend the time to look and think, actually, you know what? These orders are coming through. They were a byproduct of Ronaldo wearing it, which is something you started that relationship 3-4 years ago. And it's like the long-term gain is there for you from a marketing point of view. You can do a Facebook ad, you see whether it's returned money, but that sort of work you started with Ronaldo, like what you said, Juve was like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. It's paying off
2018
now.
Days, yeah.
Like in bucket loads, and that's exactly what, it's difficult in e-com, isn't it? Because like, I know, again, we're referring back to 304, like you spend a lot of time always thinking you need results quickly because you need the cash to keep the business going. But like something that you've done back in 2018, paying off now in 2024, and you're at a position where you can say that. I mean, Ronaldo is, like you said, he is one of the biggest people in the world. If he wears something, whether or not people like Ronaldo, they will respect that he has the money to buy the best of whatever he wants, essentially. So the social proofing you get from that is, it's worth years of stress and agony, and like you said, being constantly 24/7 on your business, it's been worth it to get yourself to this point where you can't really get much more of a better social proofing than Ronaldo. If it was me personally, I'd like Kevin De Bruyne wearing them, but I'm a City fan. But I mean, I respect Ronaldo. Is arguably the GOAT for now.
Oh yeah, there is still footballers out there which I will get to wear the brand, but it, for me, it's like I've hit the pinnacle, and it's just like you say, it's paid off now. It's paid off to the point now where we've got like 2 physical stores out in Saudi, and they're just selling themselves, because obviously people are aware of the brand out in Saudi, and not much marketing has to be put behind it. Like, we've got a team. To be fair, when I said at the start, like, it's just sort of me and my dad, there's a team in Saudi as well, but I just forget because it's just so sort of, I don't have to deal with them hardly. It's just sort of send the stock, they'll do the stuff. But like, you see these stores and like they have to do a bit of advertising or campaigns or whatever to sort of take it to the, get the footfall to that store, but because of the locations that they're in, it's just easy. And because sort of out there we're not supposed to, but they do use a photo of Ronaldo because they can just get away with it somehow. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, boom, sold, we'll have them glasses. And honestly, since he's wore the one frame, probably sold around 5,000 pairs of them in sort of 2 months, which is, to me, nuts. Compared to like when we first started, we used to order like 100 pairs, and 100 pairs would last us like 6 months, man. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, how quick we get for 100 pairs now? It's astronomically. And it, like, I still can't get my head around it. Like, I still see the business as small time. Whereas from an outsider's perspective, like, I have my mates coming in and like, God, you're getting some orders out to them. I'm like, yeah. But it's just normal for me. I remember your days back in the shed or your mum's bedroom kind of thing. And I was like, I suppose we have come a long way. But I've never had the time to sort of sit back and sort of think, Jesus Christ, I've come this far. One day I will.
I think that's what I was going to ask you next, was like, have you ever had the time to sit and go, wow, like, you've come a long way. Obviously, even just starting at, like, say, COVID, you've come a long way from where the brand and the business was. And then also becoming a dad at the same time, how much life has changed in the past 4 years. I know when I exited 304 9 months ago, that was probably one of the first times, other than when I went on my honeymoon for 2 weeks, was the first time in like 11 years that I was able to sit there and go, like, stop for a moment. Because
breathe.
Like, breathe. Yeah. And like, I remember to this day, like, when I was on my honeymoon, I said to my missus the first week, I was pretty stressed because I was like, oh, what's going on with the business? Like, what is going on? But then by the second week, it was like I broke through the pain barrier and was like, this is what life was like pre-business, pre-brand. And like, my head felt so much clearer. And then obviously I came back into the business again, but then exited 9 months ago. And like, it's mad because having a brand, especially the speed which yours has grown now in the last four years, it's just like, It's a cloud around you at all times, isn't it? That I think, I think personally is very similar to being a parent, because like, since having Brody, and whether this is the same for you, I can never not think about when I'm not with Brody that I want to be with Brody. And that was similar to like business. If I put my phone down, I was like, ah, I need to be working on the business. But now when I'm not with Brody, I'm like, I want to be with Brody. And I see similarities between the two. Don't know if you think similar or...
I think similar, because that to be honest, that hit me at the beginning of the year with my little one. It was a sense that I'd have a sort of 50% of the week, and it was like, it hit home like, I actually don't have her that often. And all in all, I'm to blame. But it's not obviously the sense that, one, I've got to work to obviously provide for her, and two, obviously she's at nursery when she's with me on them sort of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Obviously not Saturdays, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, she's at nursery. So it hit home. I was thinking, Jesus Christ, I need to start like making more time for her and actually sort of playing with her, just the little things like I did, but it didn't feel like a chore, but it just felt like you was just doing it there. Whereas now I actually like enjoy playing with her. It sounds mental, but it sounds bad saying I actually do now enjoy playing with her, but it's because, like I said, my head's just full of stuff. But yeah, it hit me at the start of the year. I thought, Jesus Christ, especially with a start in school in September. I think to myself, like, she's only going to be young once, so I need to sort of grasp it while I can, because eventually she ain't going to want to know me. Like, she'll be 16, 17, going out, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, dad, this. And I'll be like, I just wish I'd sort of cherish it then. So, like, for example, now, like last week, she was off sick and she could have gone to nursery, but I thought, nah. So she come to work with me every day last week, and it was a struggle, don't get me wrong, because she wants to just rip everything off the shelves. But then at the same time, we had a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because the warehouse now is that big, she can just run around, and she loves football. So we just get the football, just kick it up and down the aisles. There's a little sort of monster truck in the warehouse as well, like a little electric one. She's just there, like driving up and down, sitting in it, and then eating dinner in it, because again, like I say, all she wants to do is flipping eat. And I thought, do you know what, this is class. And I think to myself sometimes, rather than me sort of leave it till 3:30 to go and get her, like yesterday I went and picked her up at 1:30, and they're like, you're ready? I'm like, yeah, because I want to go and do stuff with my daughter kind of thing. So then obviously I took her to the toy shop. So yeah, it has hit home to the point where like she's only young once, and I need to start sort of being a dad more, being there for her, because at the end of the day, she don't care how much sort of money we make or whatever. Yeah, she wants flipping every toy in the flipping toy shop, but all she wants is time.
Yeah,
and that's something that I've got to give her.
It's absolutely true. I think a few people said this as well. It's like the one thing that kids want the most is quality time. Like they just want you to be there and present. And I know, when I'm working from home, like I'm with Brody, and like instead of trying to like do a few things, email and like sort of talk to him, I will literally put my phone down and try and play with him, because I know that I don't want him to remember that like I'm not always on my phone either. Do you know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
try and be as present as possible, because that's when he's laughing. He's not laughing when the phone's in my hand. He's laughing when you're rolling around with him, playing in the ball pit or kicking the football around and stuff. And like, I'm fully with you. The quality time, I'm trying to spend as much as possible, because I think someone gave me that advice as well. I think it sounds a little bit cliche, but they grow up so fast. Everyone says it, but like, yeah, they actually
but
do.
It's true. It's because you don't believe it. But like, I still remember the day that she was born, like it was yesterday. And I think to myself, I can't believe she's 4 this year. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I think everybody's life just goes so fast because you're just so like in the moment. You forget to like live, if that sounds right. But yeah, it's like like you said with your son, he's only 15 months old. Like, you've got the best parts of like his childhood yet until like he reaches sort of my daughter's age, and you're probably thinking, oh, what? But trust me, like, it's just gonna get even better.
Yeah,
because I loved it when my daughter was like a little fat baby kind of thing, and I could just hold her, whereas like I can't do that anymore because she weighs a ton. She's very tall and big for her age compared to sort of most kids. But now I like the fact, like, if I want to wrestle with her, I'll wrestle with her, because she's quite sort of boyish and very boisterous, and she'll whack me, but then I'll like perk her back and she'll whack me again. And I love that because like I used to do that with my brother growing up. Like me and my brother would fucking beat the crap out of each other as kids. And I think to myself, she definitely gets the boisterous side from me. But yeah, it's just, you've got it to come. And honestly, it'll be class.
I think we're literally, I said to someone the other day, oh, my baby's at home. And then I was like, it's not a baby anymore. I don't know when that, like, it happens.
When you stop.
When do you start calling him your child or your kid or your toddler?
I just call her the devil order because she's the devil.
I mean, Brody, he's starting to see a little bit of toddler in him now. He's getting a bit stroppy at things and he's pushing boundaries. But like I can see he's always been quite a funny little kid, but like his personality is starting to come out now. And I'm all for it, man. I can't wait for the
just time. Wait until it's the why? Yeah. Why? Like she's at that age now. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, when's it end?
I think I remember being in that stage as a kid myself, because I remember my dad's response was always the same thing. He always used to say, why is it that you can't fix? I just remember being like, well, stop saying that response. But yeah, we're literally 40 minutes in here. We could carry on talking forever, but I'll round it up with a couple of questions. First one is, if you could give a future dad or a new dad a bit of advice, you might have touched on this already, what would it be?
Just be there, be present. And like for dads that run their own business, like if you've got a good solid team behind you, like this sounds sort of, I can't sort of say it from my, because I've got a good team behind me, but without me there's no kind of business. So from stuff that I've learned is to get a good team where you can step away from the business and it still sort of be there, so you can then go and enjoy time with your family and your kids and whatnot. So it's just to make sure you're just present, because like you said, they're only young once, and then they'll be asking you for 50 quid when they're 16 to go out.
And that poses its own problems and stresses, I imagine. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. It's like, can you imagine being sat on the sofa in like 16, 17 years time, being like, they're not home, where the hell are they? Because then you'll think back to like, I know what I was doing at 16. I know what I was doing at 17.
Yeah.
And like,
and things have changed now as well, ain't they?
Yeah, things have changed. And like, I think back to like when you were like 16 or I was 16, 17, and you're like, mom and dad don't have a clue what we're up to here. They're so obvious. But like, they were the same. No doubt they were thinking, I know what you're doing. But wild, that's all to come. And then a final question. I think it's quite a good one that one of the guests posed to everyone was, before you had your daughter, did you have a number of kids that you thought you wanted? And has that changed since having baby one?
I always kind of said that, like, I'm the youngest of two, and it was always nice growing up with an older brother. Mm-hmm. So in my head, it was always two. But I'd never sort of, I never plan these things. I just go with the flow. So, like, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, then sort of my daughter will get the best sort of life it is. But don't get me wrong, like when we first had her, it got to the point where I thought, God, how do people have 2, 3, 4 kids? Like, I don't know how they do it. Especially now, like my daughter's at the age where she's more independent. She's obviously got that personality. She can play on her own for a bit. Whereas if I was to have another one, that whole thing starts again where you've got to be 24/7. Like the night feeds and all that, and I'm thinking, God, could I do it again? Mm-hmm. Because like I'm 30 next month, and I think to myself, do I want sleepless nights for another 4 years? So
it's a big question.
It is a big question. But I would like her to have a little baby brother or sister. But whether it will happen, time will tell. Time will tell.
Stay tuned. So,
Yeah.
Well, mate, I really appreciate the chat, man. 42 minutes we've spoken a fair bit about business.
Yeah, sorry, I can speak forever. I can.
Oh no, mate, there's no problem at all. Hopefully, everyone's enjoyed hearing the story. Like I said at the beginning, I'll put all the Belvoir socials in the comments and stuff. And you're actually doing a marathon or is it?
Yeah, mate, like. Half marathon. I don't know what it is. I woke up on Jan 1st and I thought, I'm 30 this year. I need to start looking after my body. So I've been running 5Ks every day and I was like, right, let's do a half marathon in well, we're doing a 49-kilometer walk in May, and then we're doing a half marathon in June. So I'm just battering my body. So yeah, we're raising money for the Birmingham Children's Hospital in May. So
super.
We'll put the link there so we can get some donations in.
Definitely, we'll put it in the comments and stuff. And appreciate you coming on, mate.
No, appreciate it. Nice to speak to you.
Thanks, everyone. And we'll be back next Monday as well at 7 o'clock for the next episode. Cheers.
A work-life balance, so hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.